Blog Talk Radio.
Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. As righteous, Yah's holy, that Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All you're going to get is the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth.
So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you might know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And he is our only savior. And not just of Israel, but Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah once again for allowing us to come before you with his great, holy, and exalted words. Over the course of this week and part of last week, we've been dealing with who are the strangers. And I will wrap this topic up because we're on part four of who are the strangers. And every part is important, and you have to analyze every part very closely. For example, in the first part, we pointed out something very, very important. If you go to the book of Isaiah, you're going to see something that the Creator told us to do. And this is what the Creator let us know in the book of Isaiah 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow, verse 1, Isaiah 51 and 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek Yahweh. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, blessed him, and increased him. And so this is what we began to do, because the very first thing you must understand about strangers, as we looked under that rock toward to Abraham, the Almighty told Abraham that everybody in his house must be circumcised. And he said that the stranger that is bought with money or born in his house must be circumcised. So that's where everything began, and that's where it started. And so what did we deal with first and foremost? We dealt with marriage, because a lot of times we find ourselves in various marriages that are not of Yah. The scripture says, unless Yah build a house, they that labor in vain that build it. Before Abraham had his first child, the Almighty told Abraham that he will have his sons, his children will be the stars of heaven. If he can count the stars, he will be able to count his children. And finally, he had his first child. And it was by a woman named Hagar, an Egyptian woman. And surely Abraham thought, surely this is who Yahweh will establish his covenant with. His name was Ishmael. And Yah said, no. This is not the one that I will establish this covenant with. This is not the one through you will inherit the promised land. He said, this will be no other than your wife, Sarah. And as the Almighty said, that's exactly what was done. So marriage is vital in determining who a stranger is, because you just can't marry any woman out there. And we went through the scriptures showing you many of the various nations that Yahweh told us we're not to go into, and they were not to come into us. And we were crystal clear with this assessment in the scriptures. That was part one. Then we brought you to the attention of the stranger, part two. The stranger, part two, we focus on the fact that once you establish your family, because unless Yahweh build a house, they that labor in vain to build it. Once you have your wife and you all begin to have children, the Creator told us that we are to teach them in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they shall not depart thereof. And the only thing that Yahweh told us to teach our children is his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, in which he only and exclusively sent to the house of Israel. And as a matter of fact, Yahweh said that he had not dealt with any nation. They do not know his judgments. And he only gave his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He said we're the only family that he has known. So he will punish us for our iniquities. And all through the scriptures, it lets you know plainly that the children of Israel are the only people that the Creator sent his word to. He told his prophets, I send thee to the house of Israel, not to any people with a strange speech and a hard tongue that thou understand not, but to the house of Israel. But if I had sent you to these people who have hard language, strange speech, they would have listened. But no, I send you to the house of Israel. And although I send you to the house of Israel, they're not going to listen to you, because they will not listen to me. Speaking of the Most High. But I send you to the house of Israel anyway. And go unto thy people and tell them, thus says Yah, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And our people so caught up on trying to save other people instead of saving their own, and more importantly, saving their self. And then we double part three. Part three, we dealt with, even though there's one manner of law, one way, one ordinance for the stranger and the homeborn, Yahweh still made a difference between his people and other people. And Yahweh said, you are to be a holy people unto me, a sanctified people, and I served you, separated you from other people, that you should be mine. And our people don't want to be a separated people at all. Even though Yahweh separated our people, even though Moses asked for us to be separated. But we would rather be like everybody else instead of being special, peculiar, and sanctified. And I showed you, no matter what the stranger do, regardless of who the stranger is, they will still never rise to be an Israelite. The Almighty said, if you keep all his commandments, he will bless you, and you shall be above all the nations upon the face of the earth. Yahweh's desires. This is his pleasure, and this is his word. Of course, in all this, I still showed you where the stranger can be saved. But still, what will be his position in earth? He will still be a servant. And I want you to see this because this is real important as we deal with part four. And Yahweh let us know that we will be the light of the world. And we will be a light to the Gentiles.
We will go with thee. We will follow thee because we see that Elohim is with thee. So there's many people, many nations that will see the light and the brightness of the children of Israel. Unfortunately, right now, everybody don't see the light, nor do they see the brightness of the rising. Today, all people see is darkness. They don't see light in themselves, speaking of Israel, nor do they see light in other Israelites. So, do it make sense that they will see light in, and we don't even see it in ourselves?
But prophecy teach it will
come to our eyes. And when will that light shine upon us?
And we will deal with that. But this is what you need to know about who are the strangers, part four. If you want to break down another word for stranger, we'll go to the book of Isaiah 60 so you can see it.
In the book of Isaiah 60, this is what it says in the 12th verse. For the nation and kingdom
that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted.
So here we see clearly that Yahweh
have set a course in his word that the stranger, these nations or kingdoms, in order for them not only to be a part of the world body, only for them to be a part of the nations and kingdoms of the earth, they must serve Israel. And if they don't serve Israel, they will be destroyed. And to serve Israel means they will be Israel's servants. Furthermore, in the book of Isaiah 14, the very first verse, "For Yahweh will have mercy on Yaakov and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Yaakov. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yahweh for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives who captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors." So this is making it crystal clear who the strangers are. They are our servants. Yes, Yahweh's house will be a house of prayer for all people. Yes, there will be sons and daughters, the eunuch and a stranger, that will cleave unto Yah and choose Yah, and will keep the Sabbaths and take hold of his covenant and even have a name better than the sons and the daughters. But they still will be our servants. Now, you might think this is a terrible position, but it is not. It is a great position to be in, to be the servants of the children of Israel. Because Yahweh only had one manner of law, one ordinance, and one way. And all his ways and all his laws and all his ordinances are perfect. They are all righteous. They are all truth. And so this is a great position for people to be in. But they will be in it, nevertheless, whether you believe it or not. Ask yourself, in understanding who are the strangers, understand it from the point of a servant, and not just a servant. This is what people fail to realize. And what they fail to realize is the order of Yah. We've been bringing to you the order of Yahweh. A lot of people never even heard of that, never seen that, never understood the scriptures behind that. And there's a certain order that Yahweh has that must be executed. And you cannot put one before the other. There's three things that Yahweh will show us how to deal with him. There's three ways to deal with the Most High. And I'm going to show you the three ways, because you're going to find out these three ways in dealing with the Most High is the same way a stranger is supposed to deal with Israel. And you're going to see the instrument in which Yahweh used to show you how to be. So, for example, the book of Malachi, the first chapter, who are the strangers part four? See, four represents light. Well, how do I know that? Because on the fourth day, that's when Yahweh made the lights of heaven, the sun, moon, and stars, to separate the day from the night. These same lights are lights that Yahweh has determined to separate his people from other people. Why do you think he said his light shall arise and shine? Because he's separating his people from other people. He said when this light shine, it shall be gross darkness on the people and darkness upon the earth. This is what you're going to see. But watch this in the book of Malachi. The three ways that you must see the Most High and how Yahweh want to be seen. Watch this in the book of Malachi, the first chapter, the sixth verse. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where's my fear? Says Yah of hosts, unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And so, in other words, Yahweh wants his people to look at him first and foremost as a father. And he wants his people to see him as a master. And also, not just a father, not just a master, but to show you another scriptures on how Yahweh want his people to see him is in the book of Isaiah 54. Again, one way he wants you to see him as a father. Number two, he wants you to see him as a master. And then this is the third way Yahweh wants you to see him. And it's in the book of Isaiah 54. And watch the fifth verse. For thy maker is thy husband. Yahweh is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Elohim of the whole earth, shall he be called. So in other words, we got the Most High saying, look, I'm not only your father, I'm your master. And not just your master, I'm your husband. No wonder Yahweh called us a son, because he's his father. He's our father. No wonder Yahweh said we are his servant, because he's our master. And no wonder Yahweh said he's our husband, because surely we are his wife. Watch what it says in Isaiah 54 so you can understand this. The first verse, sing barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child. For more the children of the desolate than the children of the merry wife, says Yah. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make desolate cities to be inhabited. See, our seed is going to inherit the Gentiles. But watch what it says. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thy husband. Yahweh is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Elohim of the whole earth shall he be called. For Yahweh have called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth. That's what he called you, a wife of youth. When thou was refused, said thy Elohim. And that's what we are to Yahweh, a wife of youth, a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. That's who we are. And why? Because he is our husband. But not only is our husband, he is our master. Watch what Yahweh said in the book of Isaiah 49. And you must understand what a master is. You must understand what a husband is. And the mass majority of the people don't. Isaiah 49:3. And said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. The glory of Yahweh, the one who will bring Yahweh his glory, is a servant. His servant is Israel. So not only is Israel a wife, but Israel is his servant. And Yahweh also said he's a father, which only can mean one thing and one thing only. And you'll read this in the book of Exodus, the 4th chapter. Because to understand this, then you can understand who the stranger is and what place Yahweh put the stranger in. In the book of Exodus, the 4th chapter, the 22nd verse. Thus says Yahweh, Israel is my son, Jesus, my firstborn. Being our master and being our husband. Just demonstrate the authority that Israel also must have in the earth. Because Yahweh chose his son to rule the earth, his servant to bring glory to him, his wife to do his pleasure. So therefore, what do you think the stranger is supposed to do? Since they are supposed to serve Israel. And let me tell you what's the difference between a father, a master, and a husband. The difference between these three things, in position-wise, in their obligations, is nothing. Nothing at all. Which means this. A master is exactly who is over a servant. And since the stranger is to serve Israel. Israel is the master. And Yahweh gave us an instrument, just like he gave us Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that we can see, that we can look back to. He gave us Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. All were prophets. He gave us Noah, Daniel, and Job for righteousness. And he told us about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that all the families of the earth shall be blessed in them. He gave us Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in Babylon. These are the things that Yahweh will give us. Yahweh will show us. So that we will know. So that we will see the light of the path in which we must walk. So there's no excuse. So in terms of a stranger, who did Yahweh give us? What light did he turn on so that we might see? How a stranger is supposed to serve their master. And you'll see this all through the scriptures, but watch this example. You'll see it in the book of Proverbs 31. Let us turn there. Since this is part four, it seemed very fittingly for us to turn on the light so that people can see not only how you are to serve the Most High, but how the stranger is to serve you. Speaking of Israel. And watch what the scripture says. In Proverbs 31, and we'll start at the very first verse. Matter of fact, the number 31 is the order of three. And what do you think that represents? A servant. And watch what it says. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So this is the words of a mother. So when Yahweh wanted to use someone as an instrument to demonstrate how and what you should see in the highest of service, a king is a servant of Yah, he's a messenger. But Yahweh wanted you to hear the prophecy of what this mother told her son. And watch what it says. And let's see if the mothers teaching their sons this today. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Because what she's about to let you know in this prophecy is vows that she made concerning her son before he was born, while he was in her womb, while he was just a son in her womb. And watch how she raised him. The first thing that come out of her mouth in the third verse is this: give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroy kings. Now, here's a mother. Here's a woman that's telling her son, give not your strength unto women. And why? Women can be very devastating, destructive to a man, and more importantly, a messenger of Yahweh, which is a king. A king is the highest position on earth. So she's talking to somebody who was set the standard of how a house must be ran, how a kingdom must be ran, how a nation must be ran, and how one is to judge. And the first thing that come out of her mouth is, don't give your strength unto women or thy ways, which destroy kings. And she going to point out some of these ways. Is it not for kings? Oh, Lemuel, is it not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink? Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. What is she telling him? In other words, O King Lemuel, let not thy mind be altered at all, because if your mind altered, and see, every day, according to the scriptures, that a king is supposed to read in the law all the days of his life. And why? But because the king is always judging. The king always making decisions. And so it's very important for the king to always be prepared and ready to bring down judgment. And he's not bringing down his judgment. He's bringing down the judgment of Yahweh. So you can see why this is so important, this prophecy. Yes, I know kings drink. We can see it all through the scriptures. As a matter of fact, many of the drinkers out there, they going to point out that, yeah, I read that, but I can show you where King David drunk something. I can show you this person who drunk something, that person who drunk something. I can show you what Noah drunk. But it still don't negate this prophecy at all. This is truth. Watch what it says. Give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish, and wine unto those that be a heavy heart. Let them drink and forget his poverty. Remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. In other words, this is letting us know, man, King, we rely on you to speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves, for those who can't rationalize things for themselves, for those who don't have the right words to tell people how they really feel. We need you to open up your mouth for them. Open up thy mouth, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and needy. This is what a king's supposed to be about. This is what a king is supposed to be spending his time doing. And why? Because a king, although he's a servant, and he has a master, and that's Yahweh. But the king is a master, and he also has servants. And that's what we're talking about. Who are the strangers, part four? because you need to see how a servant is to be, how a servant is supposed to serve their master. Then you can understand who are the servants or who are the strangers. Watch what it says in the 10th verse, because now it's going to give. That was a woman, that was a mother who was teaching her son prophecy. But now, this is about a woman servant. As a matter of fact, it's in Proverbs 31 and 10. Not only is 31 the order of three, but so is 10. Which means now we in a holy separation. This is the highest woman in the scriptures. And Yahweh will use her as an instrument to show a servant how you are to serve your master. Little do people know, we just showed you that a husband is a master. He's a father. A father is a master and a husband. And now this is a servant of a master, of a husband, which is a virtuous woman. And watch what it says. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And most people be paying attention to her. But Yahweh is not interested in you paying attention to her, because he would have just said a woman. But he said a virtuous woman. Now you're talking about a certain type of woman. This woman is a servant. And watch what it says. Of course, her price is far above rubies, which means this, that you can't put a price on her. You can't value her for sale, because her price is far above rubies. See, most servants you can sell. You can put a price on servants. They can sell themselves. You can buy them, but not the virtuous woman. This is how valuable she is. There's no price that can be labeled upon her. Watch what it says. The heart of her husband do safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And a lot of people get this confused. We have been trained to believe that we're supposed to work to build up trust for, in other words, the servant. Just want you to read this so you won't be confused. The heart of her husband do safely trust in her. In other words, she has to work to trust him, to build up trust for him, not the other way around. He's the master. She's the servant. So it's important for his heart to trust her, not the other way around. This is what society has brought us down to, where the servant saying to the master, I don't trust you. You don't trust me. And we know this to be true. This is why many of us, or most of our people don't trust the Most High, even though Yahweh say, trust in me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. No, we want Yahweh to trust us rather than us trust him. And this is backwards. The only reason the husband trusts her is because her virtues, her servitude, her service towards him and the Most High can be trusted. But they will make you believe that it's the other way around. Watch what it says. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. In other words, why? Because him trusting her is vital. And it's easier to trust somebody who have your best interest, who's going to do you good all the days of your life. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say, he that love Yah hate evil. So when you do evil unto your master, what makes you think he's going to trust you? And how is that demonstrating good? And here it is. We have women. We have people that call themselves servants of the Most High, but yet they will do evil towards their husband, towards their father, towards their master. And one might say, well, they do evil to us. And we're going to get into that also. But if you want to know the essence of how a servant is to be toward their master, as we are servants and Yahweh is our master, then you've seen it. First and foremost, gain his trust, because he will trust, his heart will safely trust you. Don't do him good all his days, and don't do him evil at all. But think about the stranger who's supposed to serve Israel. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. In other words, she's not only going to bring him the best, she's going to offer the best, and she's going to do the best. And it all is going to be done willingly. And let me tell you, if it's not willingly, your master don't want it, because he don't want to have to force you to do nothing. And Yahweh don't want it. Yahweh tell his people, the only people he want him to give him anything, to offer him anything, is those that are willing. That's why it says here she working willingly with her hands. In other words, she don't have to be forced to do anything. This is her makeup. This is her character. This is her service towards her master. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. And why? Because she's only dealing with the best. She's not making excuses. She go as far as she needs to bring him the best. because she's set apart. The food that she brings is set apart. Her thinking, her character, her attitude is set apart, which simply means it's holy. It's sanctified. Who want a service, be a servant like this? Well, you might not want to be a servant like this, but I can assure you, this is the type of servant you will want, which is a total hypocrisy. That's why Yahweh said, since we did not serve him for the abundance of all things with joyfulness of heart, we will serve our enemies for want of all things. Hunger, thirst, and for everything. And what are we doing today? Serving our enemies, and we don't like it. Well, we should have appreciated our master, our father, our husband, just like the mass majority of the women don't appreciate their husband, their master. And today, all other people, including the strangers, have no respect and have no order, and the whole earth is out of course. But this is the light of the path that puts you right back where you need to be. Watch what it says. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. And why? Because she's the light of the family. So even while it is yet night, her service still bring light. Now, is this the type of service that you desire and expect? What type of servant are you? See, when we talk about Yahweh's remnant, now you're looking at Yahweh's remnant. You're looking at who Yahweh pleasure in. You're looking at the expectations of Yahweh. You're looking at perfection. You think Yahweh will have a stranger that don't serve Israel in this manner? Do you think Yahweh will have women around that don't serve their husbands in this way? In the remnant? And do you think Yahweh himself will have a servant that don't serve him like this? No. These are the instruments that Yahweh used and that Yahweh have declared in his word. We might see that this light might be turned on to not only who he is, and what is he? He's a master. He's a husband. He's a father. Who are we? A master, a husband, and a father. Who are we? We are his sons, his servants, and his wife. And who are the strangers? They are our servants. and we are their masters. Watch what it says. She considered a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planted a vineyard. So she's not waiting on somebody to just take care of her. She's part of the solution. In other words, she works. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. Always working. This is why she girded her loins with strength. This is why she's strengthening her arms. In other words, whatever she got to do, weakness is not a part of her makeup. She is not like the queens of Europe, where their hands don't get dirty. Their feet don't get stained. Their clothes don't get stained. No, the women, a virtuous woman is a worker. As delicate as she is, this is how hard she works. Is this the type of woman you see today? The woman you see today is a woman that the harder she works, the more she complains. The more she do, the more she's cussing. What you see today. No wonder the stranger has not come to our light, because there is no light that we are doing this. Watch what it says. She laid her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. In other words, she's not just thinking about self. She don't even have time to think about self because she's constantly working, servicing other people. This is her strength. And all this she is doing willingly because she is a servant. She is not afraid of the snow. For her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. In other words, no excuses. It's raining. We can't do this. It's snowing. We can't do that. It's hot. We can't do that. In other words, depending on the weather, depending on the temperature, depending on whatever it is going to determine how hard she's going to work and how much she's going to bring to the table. But not so with a virtuous woman. And who is that? She's a certain type of servant. A servant that Yahweh has pleasure in. Why do you think Yahweh will have us to read this in the last book of Proverbs? In other words, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And the last thing Yahweh wanted us to know in the book of wisdom is how we are to be as a servant, not just women, because Yahweh also has servants, and Yahweh desired this type of service. And why? Because he is a husband. He's a father, and he is a master. Watch what it says. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So don't think this woman can't get dressed up, and don't think she don't have the best for her children. She do. She worked hard to get the best. How else can you bring praise to your family? How else can you be a light and glory to the people that you serve if you look tore up and don't care about how you look and don't care about the things that you have? No, she care. She want the best. She desires quality because she is a servant. Watch what it says. Her husband is known in the gates, not known to be cussed out, not known in the gates to be disrespected by his wife, not known in the gates for not having no money because you done told everybody. And he ain't no good because you done gossiped to everybody and you done told all your business. No, he's not known for that. Or he's a drunkard. Or he get high. No, he's not known for that. But this servant, her husband is known in the gates. And watch what it says. When he sitteth among the elders of the land, because he's known because of her virtues, because of her service, because of her holiness. This is why he is known. She make you fine linen and sell of it. And deliver girdles unto the merchants. Why? Because she's not just some housewife. Like in America, they just want to stay home and take care of kids and that, like they don't have to bring nothing to the table. They don't have to bring make money or nothing. They just want to do one thing. They want the husband to take care of them, the master to take care of them, the father to take care of them. And they don't bring nothing home, bring nothing to the table. No, this is not a virtuous woman at all. A virtuous woman make a fine linen and sell of it. Deliver girdles unto the merchant. And this ain't no type of woman who make money and then hide it and sneak it and bury it from their husband. Because there's a lot of women who do that. After they make money, they make the husband pay everything, and then they hide theirs for their escape. Watch what it says. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. And what is her strength? What is her honor? Because she's a servant of the Most High. This is the highest servant you can be, especially as a woman, a virtuous woman. It's a certain type of servant. Strength and honor is her clothing. When people see her, they're going to say, look, she's strong, and she's honorable. Now, what do you think a stranger should be? How do you think a stranger should serve? And what light do you expect a stranger to see? This is the light that must be brought to the Gentiles. The way in which you will serve your master, your husband, and your father. And the scriptures say the nation will see and say, this is a wise and understanding people. Look at them. Look how strong they are. Look how honorable they are. But not so today. Furthermore, opening her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Where do you see that at? Who do you see that in? What master, what husband, what father won't his sons and daughters, his wife, and his servant to talk to him any kind of way? And disrespect him. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. In other words, she always trying to do good. It says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So no wonder she looketh well to the ways of her household. And Yahweh has a house. Yahweh's house is called the house of Israel. Now should not Yahweh's servants look well to the ways of Yahweh's house? And should not a wife look well to her husband's house? And should not the stranger look well to the ways of the house that he belonged to? Since he's a servant, since she's a servant, and since the sons of Israel are servants. And it says she eateth not the bread of idleness. What's that? Just idleness is you ain't doing nothing. And when you ain't doing nothing, you're going to eat some bread. That's nothing. Idleness. This is an old saying. An idle mind is a devil's playground. People who eat the bread of idleness, is they eat in gossip. They eat mess. They stir up mess. They eat foolishness. They eat tailburn. Just a bunch of garbage. But not so with a true servant. They don't eat that bread because they're always trying to do good. And they don't got time for idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also And he praised her. And you can understand why. Because she is a servant that's worthy of praise. She's a servant that one have to declare, you're blessed. And did not it say, out of all the families of the earth, shall be blessed indeed. Bless those that bless thee. Curse those that cursed thee. And who want to get a blessing? Well, this servant do. And who desire a curse? Many of the people who want to be blessed. They just want to be blessed, but they're not willing to work for the blessing. They just want to be blessed. Please bless me, Yah. Well, what the hell are you doing to get a blessing? Now, all I hear you doing is complaining, cussing, full of idleness and foolishness, full of shame and contempt. This is not a servant of Yahweh, nor is this a servant that Yahweh will yet choose. My daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that fears Yahweh, she shall be praised. And this is all about Yahweh's fear. Now, a woman that fears Yahweh, she shall be praised. What do you think a stranger will be that fears Yahweh? What do you think a husband will be that fears Yahweh? What do you think anybody will be if they fear Yahweh? This is the type of servant Yahweh takes pleasure in. This is the type of servant that Yahweh is looking for. And this is the type of servant that will serve Israel. Because if they don't serve Israel, they shall be utterly wasted. And Israel that don't serve and fear Yahweh. You cannot be a light unto the nations. And Yahweh already let us know what he will do to those who are not a light to the Gentiles. Watch what Yahweh say in the book of Micah. Who are the stranger part for? And watch what this says. In the book of Micah, one second. And make that Amos. Amos, the ninth chapter, not Micah. Amos, the ninth chapter. Who are the strangers? Part four. A stranger from the beginning of time was always a servant. We want to make the stranger something that he ain't never was. That's like a stranger being a king. A stranger can't be our king. A stranger can't be our priest. So how then can a stranger be our master? And if he's not our master, then that only can mean he's our servant. Watch what it said in the book of Amos, the 9th chapter. And this is for those who think they can escape the all-seeing eyes of Yahweh. I'm here to tell you, you cannot. And it says in the book of Amos, the 9th chapter, the 8th verse, behold, the eyes of Yahweh, Elohim, are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Yaakov, says Yahweh. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as a corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. So don't think you can walk around and not be a light of Yahweh. And the only ones that's going to be a light of Yahweh are his servants, his ministers that do his pleasure. The only strangers in the world will be those who will serve Yahweh and serve Israel in the kingdom. That do not serve them shall utterly be wasted. And it says, in that day will I raise up the house of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins. So who is his? David's ruins. And I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, all the heathen, which are called by my name, says Yah, that doeth this. This is what Yahweh said he would do. Now you should know who the stranger are. They're your servants. And many of them refuse to serve Israel. And that's why the scripture said, bless those that bless thee, and curse those that curse thee. Yahweh never sent this to anyone else but to the house of Israel. And the way the stranger, the way the heathen, the way the oppressor will find Yahweh is through our light, not through our teachings, not from our voice, but through our actions. For the scripture says, they shall see and say, this is a wise and understanding people. So let them see your light. Your light comes from that you have circumcised your heart, that you have sanctified yourself, that you have willingly chose and elected to serve Yahweh. And as one of our fathers in the days of old, as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. Yahweh is our master. Yahweh is our father. Yahweh is our husband. And we must show the world how to be his servant. Until tomorrow, Yahweh love you. So do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole.
Uh-huh.
And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by a seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.
Worthy.